Canuck Central on a Wednesday. Satyar Shah, Bick Nazar in for Dan Riccio, coming to you live from the Kintec studio. And this hour of Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. A fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. I don't know why I said Boston the way I did. It just kind of happened. I don't know. It's not quite like calling Elias.
Mate,
but I don't know why that happened the way it did, but it did.
Boston,
and it's not even like a Boston accent. It makes
that
no sense.
That was not a Southie accent.
I did not even try to do it. I don't know. Sometimes like stupid things come out of my mouth.
Man, Boston.
So, well, with Riccio out, you know, I just have to, you know, fill the corner of weird pronunciations and all that. But yeah, as always, get your thoughts into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We have Arash producing, Josh working from home. But yeah, Sat and Bick here today on Canuck Central. We have Overrated, Underrated coming up a bit early at 3:30. Well, the show was a bit earlier today, 3 to 5, because we have the Abbey playoff game coming up at 5 p.m. from Texas as they hold a 2-1 series lead in the Western Conference final in the AHL Calder Cup playoff run. And we'll get to Overrated, Underrated at 3:30. We have Kevin Woodley joining us at 4, and Gary Bettman is holding a State of the Union as the Stanley Cup final begins as well tonight, which we'll talk about. So we'll keep an eye on what he has to say and what's going on with the National Hockey League. So a lot going on with the show today, but good to have you with us today, Bick.
Pumped up, man. Pumped up.
We'll have a good time. We have a lot of things to talk about. Now, before we get to the Open, I did want to ask you, just in general, you know, how you feel about life?
I feel, why? Because I'm growing a crisis beard or something like that? Okay.
Actually, exactly that. So, like, you did not ever really rock a beard.
No, I'm not really a beard guy.
Little while, like, you've really started, you know, rocking. And I'm not saying it doesn't suit you. It looks good.
I don't know where he's going with this.
I'm not even sure either. You good? Like, is it a crisis goatee beard?
No.
Or you're good, right?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than Josh.
All right. I just wanted to make sure because, you know, Josh took a lot of ribbing from us yesterday. I just wanted to make sure he's not the only one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So now, you know, just want to make sure I'm also making fun of Bick's appearance.
Gentlemen,
as well.
Josh isn't even here today.
No.
Yeah. He lasted one day.
He lasted one day.
He couldn't deal with it.
And I'm just, you know, because HR might be, you know, looking into how we may have bullied him on the show, I want to make sure that everybody gets equally bullied. So Bick is getting his, you know, his share.
That's fine. I get enough of the bald jokes, so the fact is, like, I'm getting beard jokes. It's like, great. This is a step up for
me
here.
The 2014 Mike Gillis beard. That's the solidarity crisis.
Yeah, that beard was awful. Like, the neck beard. Like,
This is my motivation beard. It's not a crisis beard.
Okay,
it's
good.
A
motivation beard.
It's
I like
a motivation.
That.
I'm not a beard guy, as I've said before. So I'm growing it out just to lose enough weight to shave it off.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
All right. But, I don't know, maybe just keep it for a while. It's good. Looks good. Minor Matt Mabisford, Boston, laughing. Yeah, so I'm getting it.
And Mike, the urologist. Did Bick just show up for his usual show? And I was like, oh, dang, it's Canuck Central. You need me?
You guys need me? Pointing at himself. Yes.
It's like that clip's like, did I just get drafted? Where's this footage from? It's like 10 minutes ago.
Mom, I swear I don't even want to play.
That's such a great bit.
It's a great bit.
It's such an all-timer.
Yes, for those wondering, it's a bit about a guy who was sitting on his couch being fake drafted into the NFL when he wasn't actually being
drafted. Which also, shout out to former Carolina Hurricanes goalie Cam Ward for replicating that
moment,
because Cam Ward was drafted first overall in the NFL this year.
Yeah, that was
great.
And
he did that. That was so good.
That was well done. Yeah. It was good to see. Good to hear. And Josh Ellie Wolf texting into our show chat saying, geez. All right, well.
Yeah.
Just rest up and feel better, Josh. It's okay. We all need a day sometimes. Yeah. You know what? With that,
I do that every day. Okay, you can stomach it, Josh.
All right. You know what? Let's leave the shenanigans for now. Let's get to the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Mark! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
It is the Open, where we break down the latest on the Vancouver Canucks. And on the Canucks front, there hasn't been a lot happening. The most newsworthy Canuck item from today was practice facility talk.
Let's go.
The Canucks were seen, well, Canucks brass was seen at the Rosemary Brown Rec Center in New West South Burnaby area. And Irf had an update on X Twitter as well. And he mentioned that the Canucks also checked out a site at Britannia. They've been looking at numerous different places, and they would love to revitalize the Britannia area, which would also be a lot closer as far as a practice rink is concerned. And he mentions, Irf, that it might be a little far, South Burnaby, but the facilities there are impressive. They have a couple sheets of ice. There are a lot of good things about that facility that what might need some sort of tweaks to, you know, have the dress room they may want, but not a lot of work may need to be done. But Britannia would be more of work. But should this be seen as a positive, Bic, that the Canucks are at least being seen, being out and about, trying to find a solution to their practice facility problem?
How much of a... Look, we're doing it on overrated, underrated day, so it's like, oh, is this underrated or overrated? Yeah, like, it's a positive thing. Like, it's still a lot of work to do to get to the stage of, like, wow, they're building, and they've agreed on a site and all these things. So, yeah, look, it's good. You still got to select a site.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly.
I don't want to get like too hyped up. It's like, wow, they're actually doing the thing. It's like, well, they should have been doing the thing for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to come to a decision to actually finalize where you're going. So I get there's flickers of excitement from people. Be like, oh, wow, they're actually touring and they're actually doing the things. It's like, okay, let's see them actually follow through on some of this stuff. Because it was, what, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah.
Jim Rutherford's like, oh, yeah, practice facility. So we're going to get it sorted out.
But also what Rutherford mentioned is that it's going to take time. Like, by the time you select a site, then there's the retrofitting at best. If not, perhaps there might be more extensive
wholesale
work.
Construction, right?
So who knows? So we're talking about, at the very least, a year or two away from being able to set foot on a practice facility.
And that's best case scenario, right? Like...
But hey, you know,
nice to see.
Yeah, nice to see.
I don't want to like say like, oh wow, they're finally serious about it. It's like, okay.
Well, I think the Canucks would say that they have been serious about it. It's just about their lack of execution in the matter, I suppose. So you can criticize. It's the same thing, right? Like, it's like, do you criticize?
Hey, man, I've been.
Do you criticize the desire or the execution? Like, you know, obviously, whichever one it is, it hasn't really worked out.
So, I've been serious about getting into shape for a long time, man.
Yeah.
There's been a lack of execution.
Yeah. And I know people want to bring up the whole practice facility thing as perhaps being overrated or underrated. So we'll hit that when overrated, underrated comes up again. We'll revamp that. We'll bring up that conversation yet again. But that was the most newsworthy item as far as Canucks are concerned today. And we'll see where that leads as far as a practice facility is concerned. And we know that the Canucks are going to be pursuing the trade market to improve their center position. They've been very forthright in telling us that. Jim Rutherford has told us on this show that they may not even have cap space to go into free agency. But had they got, if they do have money once free agency comes around and they still have a need for center, if that situation does unfold, well, one player that could at least have been a short-term option is now off the board. Brock Nelson has signed a 3-year deal with the Colorado Avalanche for $7.5 million per season. He was traded to the Avs from the Islanders at the trade deadline for a pretty hefty package, getting a first-round pick, Cal Ritchie, and more back in return for Brock Nelson. But when we look at how thin the free agent market is, and Nelson, again, he's 34 years old. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a young player. But as far as a short-term player that would provide what the Canucks lack, he does provide that. Can play center. He's physical, good leadership qualities, can play in all situations, can score some goals, and can be your center on a second line for a couple of years at the very least. But now he's off the board. So we start looking at the free agent market as being an option for the Canucks if they can't make the trade they're looking to make. Now that he's off the board, like, do you see any other players that fit the mold of veteran options that they could pursue on a shorter term deal?
They're falling by the wayside fast, right? And it just needed one guy to be removed from this, and you just feel like this Jenga tower is going to come down of, oh, this is this avenue we can go down, right? Because we've talked about, okay, what about this Duchesne, Tavares, Nelson, right? Like, there's some veteran guys that you can go and say, hey, do we do the 2-year, 3-year deal and maybe you have to load up the money a bit, but this is one avenue you can go down here. Mm-hmm. And do you dedicate more resources to something else? when the names dry up, the avenue dries up. So then you have to go another pivot into another idea. And then this is why I always talk about sequencing of moves makes sense to me, or is also a priority to me. Because now, if you let's just say they Brock Nelson made it to market and they got him.
Yeah.
Well, now the other weapons that we talked about of like your first round pick or what are the trades you want to make, mm-hmm. you don't have to go dedicate it to a second line center, right? Because you got the guy in.
Yeah.
So now it's like your paths are becoming a bit more limited, maybe also a bit more defined. But just losing one player off the list like has ramifications on how you navigate this.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting with Colorado is they're essentially capped out mm-hmm. now that they have signed Brock Nelson to a contract, and they still have to fill out their roster. So they have to make a move. Now, Frank told us yesterday that the one player they're trying to move, or his name has been out there pretty aggressively, is Sam Girard. If they move him out, they have enough space. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was interesting when we saw Marty Natchez's name pop up on Kipper's list that we talked about on Monday's show as well. But now that they've signed him and, you know, the free agent market, like we talked about, like Duchesne doesn't look like he's realistic for Vancouver, right? Like he's probably going to stay in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Tavares probably not coming to Vancouver anyways. And all of a sudden, like,
probably not leaving Toronto.
Right.
Yeah.
And if he is, he's probably not coming to Vancouver. So you're kind of through the list of free agent veterans, right?
It's basically Granlund at that stage.
Yeah. And is that exciting? Like, you know, and
a lot of people wouldn't have to change their jerseys.
No,
I mean, I didn't say a lot of people.
The number,
a few people, may not have to change their jerseys.
You get the better brother eventually, right?
But it's basically like that's it.
That's it.
Basically him and Claude Giroux.
Yeah,
as like reliable top, not just like middle six guys.
Yeah,
right. Like you can talk about a Christian Dvorak. You can talk about some guys, but it's like you're making a big projection. I don't know if there's a lot of people that want to go down that road. So like, oh, this guy can be a second line center. At least you've seen Giroux do it. Granlund, we can debate, but like he can fit a role.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's like that's it. That's there's no other names on the free agent market.
Yeah.
So are you in a spot where you start, and Sam Bennett, but I think there's a lot of expectation that he stays in Florida.
Yeah,
as much as we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Do you look at any of those guys and say, Giroux makes sense?
Yeah, but even Giroux, I don't know if he's, so he went to Ottawa because it was home.
Yeah.
He's been an East Coast guy. The only way
he was traded to Florida, it's like,
right.
Hey, there's only certain areas I'm going.
And he might just end up signing and staying in Ottawa, right? Like he made the playoffs this year, had a good year. That might just happen. But if it does not happen, the only way you get Claude Giroux is if you offer him the Sundin contract. Two years, like $10 million per year, which is absurd for a guy. Like, I don't know if you're getting him unless you're giving something like, or maybe it's $8 or $9 million per year, but it has to be something along those lines. And do you want to do that to a guy who's 37 anyways? So to me, like Brock Nelson was the most intriguing one because he's not perfect, but I could understand. Like, so if he got 7.5 over 3, Canucks probably could have got him if they offered the extra year, do 4 years, maybe eight. Like, if
the number to me for him was always somewhere between $21 to $28 million.
Yeah,
right. So 7 by 4 would put you in that $28 million.
Precisely. So he got a little bit less than that, but he's staying on a good team. He's going to make him up, what is it? It's about $22 million, $22.5 million.
Yeah, $22.5 million.
So it's good money for him and all that. But he was a guy that was like, okay, I could see the Canucks seeing him being an option. But now that Colorado signed him, does that actually make Natchez more of a possibility here? Because they have Coyle, and Frank mentioned him being on the trade market too. You have McKinnon, you have Nelson, and you have Coyle. Natchez can play wing as well. You need wingers too. But does he actually become available now?
Look, you can throw him in the mix of names.
Because like, you have to sign him long term as well. I know you can kick that can. You can't even kick that can down the road another year. Like, you have to figure this out.
I think he's significantly better than Filippito. But is this not kind of the same issue of like, he can play center, but is he good at center?
Right. But here's the thing. You're right. At the same time, is he enough of a talent that as long as you're getting that player in your lineup with his speed, his play driving ability, and what he can provide offensively, that you're not too worried about it? Like, even if he's not a center, like he's a good enough talent that you take the swing on it.
Yeah.
Like,
he can be that incredible of a player, right? Like he's got natural size. He's got tremendous mobility, not just like straight line speed. Like he zigs and zags all over the ice. He's a fun watch. I don't know if it like solves the issues. Now, look, you might be in a scenario where you can't solve all the issues in one summer. So just as you were just saying, just acquire talent and figure it out as you go along.
Because here's the thing: like, if you, let's say for instance you get Natchez,
yeah,
well then you can probably sign Suter.
Yeah, you're also going to have to give Ignatius a contract.
Yeah.
But that starts next season.
I think that's the thing. Like, you're making the bet. And same thing goes for Paterka. You trade for Paterka, giving him a big contract as well. As a young player with really nice projection. Mm-hmm. So you're taking a risk. And if you're trading for Ignatius or Paterka, it's probably going to be similar prices. It's going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. But I think this just reinforces that it's not going to be the free agent market for the Vancouver Canucks. Because even the guy that... And people make a good point. It's like, why would he want to come to Vancouver? The Canucks are not a winner. Bob McBurnaby says that. He wants to be on a playoff team. No doubt. But ultimately, if you throw a lot of money at somebody, that's where the Canucks are at. They're either going to have to throw a lot of money at somebody, or they're going to have to pay a pretty steep price to get a difference-making player. And I just wonder if the most likely thing is going to be trade, and if somebody actually good becomes available. And Natchez is a guy we talked about, and I think what we're going to hear over the next week or so are more names potentially. And I brought this up on earlier in the week about the Canucks, and even last week, the Canucks may trade for somebody that came out of left field.
Similar to the Hronik move.
That's very much in the cards here. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really, really interesting. And, I think we're considering where the Canucks find themselves, you ideally want to have a center, no doubt. And you have to find a center to do a lot of dirty work. But they need to find guys that can carry play and drive. Because, yes, centers are important, but play drivers are more important. Like, the players that can make your team mm-hmm. better are the most important players that you can add. Look at Nikita Kucherov with the Tampa Bay Lightning, for instance. Won the Ted Lindsay Award. He's a winger. He's pretty good and impactful.
You've also got to be that good, though.
Matthew Tkachuk, right? Go through the list of like every team that's a contender has a wing that's almost as valuable as a mm-hmm. center. And the Canucks don't have that.
Those guys are...
Don't have that. They have to find that player. You would love for that to be a center. And the Canucks
true,
have that with JT.
Impact play driving wings. It's a pretty small list of like, we're talking like top line, that guy can do it. I know we talk about like a Connor Garland can play drive, but it's... Like, there's suppression of the overall production. And, again, you're talking someone that's kind of the tweener, third, second line type of guy. The true, like, first line play driving wings, man, I think it's, like, maybe 10 guys.
There aren't that many. But I think if you're looking at where the Canucks are, you're not trading for one of those 10. Mm-hmm. Centers are very hard for you to find. So the next thing you do, you're finding somebody that can maybe become that. Natchez has shown... Can he become that potentially? There are some risks. There's risks to his game. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Paterka, I think, is interesting too. A little bit younger. Can he become that down the road? But that's what the Canucks are going to have to do. They have to make some sort of projection, because you're not getting a top 10 center not becoming available. Yeah. A top 10 wing's not becoming available. You're going to have to trade for somebody or acquire someone who could become that down the road.
It's what I was talking about on Monday. Like, somewhere in this offseason plan, they're going to have to take a risk. Mm-hmm. And which risk, like, not even just the cost of acquiring a talent, some sort of projection is going to have to be made. And what risk are you, what's the biggest risk you're willing to absorb? A lot of people texting in and be like, oh, I'll risk having less goaltending. I'll risk moving out a Hronik and trying to figure that part out. Somewhere there's going to have to be some sort of element that the upside is not going to be seen. And you have to roll the dice and see how it lands for you. Yeah. Say, oh, okay, the numbers did come up right for us, right. And we made it work for us.
And I know there's so much talk around Quinn. Mm-hmm. And it's very unlikely the Canucks are going to become a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. But for all this talk around...
In one offseason.
Yeah. But it's about the path. Can you get on the right path, so to speak? And it was really interesting. We were listening to Kipper and Bourne on Monday's show. And I was going to bring this up earlier, but I thought this kind of fits in with our conversation here as well. Because there's so much immediacy this offseason to make your team better. But is it a foregone conclusion that Quinn wants to play with his brothers? And Elliot and Kipper kind of went back and forth on this a little bit, and it's a good listen, especially with how Friedman breaks down what Quinn is looking for. Here is Elliot Friedman on Kipper and Bourne on Monday talking about Quinn Hughes.
Nick, as you know, there's only one thing that's going to change all this, and that is Vancouver has a really good year and Vancouver is a contender. Last year, when they went to the second round of the playoffs and took Edmonton to 7 games, nobody was talking about any of this stuff. Nobody. And this year, they have a nightmare of a year. They trade Miller. They miss the playoffs. Their coach leaves. Now this comes out. You think guys don't leave situations where they think they can win. Guys want to win.
Unless they got two brothers they really want to play with.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, you know what, Nick? I got to tell you something. I think if he thought Vancouver was a winner, I don't even think this would be a question. I really don't. If he thought he could win here, you know, you can, like, the thing is, like, I had one agent say to me a couple years ago, he had a player that was a little bit unhappy, and he had a team that had, like, a monster deal on the table for him. And he said to the player, that one of the things they talked about was, like, you could win here. And he goes, yeah, and they got a lot of money on the table, yeah. He says, look, like, if you sign the contract and things go badly, you don't think we can maybe force an exit to go somewhere else? Like, you can always do that. Paths can always change. You know, these agents, they have a lot of power. Players have a lot of power. Situations go badly. Players have more power in the NHL than they've ever had before. So I look at it this way. If you're Quinn Hughes, I think more than anything else, he wants to win. And if the Vancouver Canucks are in a position in a situation where they can win, I don't think we're hearing a lot of this noise. But, like, Jim Rutherford is a smart guy. He doesn't throw that comment out there at the end of the season by accident. He knows they had a really hard year. And if it continues to go like this, Quinn Hughes is going to start looking and saying, I don't want to be somewhere where I'm not going to win. So I don't think this is a question if the Canucks are a winner. I think it's purely a question because they're not going very well.
That's Elliot Friedman on Kipper and Bourne on Monday. And I know, especially with how Rutherford had answered the question about Quinn Hughes, and even when he was on with us, he said, well, it's kind of common sense. I mean, want to play with his brothers. I think it's interesting the way Friedman frames it, which I think is the more logical way. As much as, yes, he wants to play with his brothers, mm-hmm. The thing is, he's so right. He can be like, you know what? I like what's happening here. I'm not in a rush to go to my brothers. Let's sign a deal. And if it doesn't go the way I want, I can always ask for a trade, and they'll trade me. You know what I mean? You can work these situations out. Like Elliot said, players have a lot of power. But that's, you know, putting the cart in front of the horse. But the point that I want to make more than anything here is that it's not, to me, about winning the Stanley Cup this year or making yourself a cup contender. Can you put players around Quinn that he looks around and says, you know what? I see a path. And that's why I think getting somebody that can move the needle talent-wise is the best way to convince people that this is the right place to be. And yes, I want to see a center, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But if the best player you acquire this year is a wing, I'm okay with that. If that guy can actually move the needle and you can look at, his teammates can look at him and say, that's a dog that we can go far with.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what you need, you know? And we're so fixated on the center part, and hopefully it is. But that's the point I want to illuminate is, like, you want to make sure you have the players. It might take a couple of years to get there, but can you get the right guys in the building?
Look, you and I had this conversation a couple of weeks ago on the show where, you know, we were very much, I think it was the day we did the, oh, just give Quinn the max and make him say no. Yeah. But very much of like, plan what the 2027 team is going to be, right? And if you take the prolonged approach, then you can do what you're talking about with like, hey, if we have an opportunity to get this guy, just bring him in and we'll figure out the next step eventually. Mm-hmm. And as you say, if you can showcase a path, just light up a path and illuminate, it's like, hey, we're getting good players. It's coming.
It's like,
don't
look at
worry.
The defense. If you, let's say you figure something out with Demko, yes. You got a defense and you add a real needle moving forward. Yeah. It's like, hey, we're not quite there, but you see the frameworks here, right? But it's hard for me to look at a framework you can sell without finding a legitimate piece.
Somewhere, right? Yes. And even if it's a wing. And they would go back to the thing I was talking about earlier. It's like, what risk are you willing to take? Is the risk to say, like, we'll put all the pressure on us to prove to Quinn that we're going to solve this out in 18 months
right.
rather than 3 months this summer
yeah.
and say, hey, we're going to challenge you. Like, and this is kind of the question I've been thinking about a lot since I talked to Luke Shen last week on the show, and he kind of asked him, was like, hey, how important was playing with your brother to you? And he was like, I just wanted to make the NHL.
Yeah.
And then you compare it to like, okay, well, how big is Quinn Hughes' desire to play with his brothers? And is that greater than a desire to win a cup?
Because you can always, like, the way it's set up with New Jersey, you can always join at some point. Like, it doesn't have to be next year, you know? Like,
yeah.
It might happen.
And
it might very well happen.
I would be stunned if a competitor like Quinn Hughes, not even just like a good competitor, just like someone who's that competitive but also great at his position, is like, oh no, I've always wanted to play with my brothers more than I want to try to win a cup.
Yeah.
And so to Elliot's point, it's like, it is just about winning.
Yeah.
Solve that bit and that's your hammer.
Now the thing is, obviously New Jersey has a better path to winning.
Right
than
now,
Vancouver
yes.
does, right?
But it's not like they're flush in success here recently.
No, that's true.
I think they have one playoff win in 8 years.
Yeah, and acquiring Quinn isn't going to be cheap from Vancouver either. Like, but to your point, the Canucks this offseason, it's not about becoming a cup contender. It's about can you open up a window that you can be competitive in a couple of years in that you can convince the best player in the organization to stay? At least sign an extension. You know, to Elliot's point, signing an extension doesn't mean you stay there for the entirety of the contract. Mm-hmm. But do you say, okay, you know what? Money's on the table. Let me take it. And we'll revisit this in a year or two.
And it can be big money, like the max.
Yeah, exactly. Like I wouldn't be afraid of doing that. Quickly running through the playoff roundup or Canuck Central roundup. Game one of the Cup final is tonight. Panthers versus the Edmonton Oilers, of course. Game four between the Abbotsford Canucks and the Texas Stars. That is happening tonight as well. Puck drop at 5, a game you can listen to right here on Sportsnet 650. The Abbey Canucks holding a 2-1 series lead, Bick, on the Texas Stars. We're hoping to take that 3-1 lead here and we'll see what happens. Like, you know, they have three games in Texas, then they come back to Vancouver for the final two.
Yeah.
You're getting ahead of yourself, but it's like you really don't want to be in a position where you're down coming back to Vancouver. Like, you really want to win at least one of these final two games
big opportunity to try to get the split and obviously the extra game there. But if you get the one, it's like, hey, you take a lot of pressure off yourself. So yeah, huge game tonight.
Massive, massive game. That is coming up at 5 o'clock, a game you can listen to right here on Sportsnet 650. And before we hit the break, we have Overrated, Underrated coming up at 3:30. So if you have any last-minute submissions, get those into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650, 650. We have Arash and Josh on it, and we'll have a lot of fun with that coming up next segment. But the 650 Jays Care 50-50 is now live. You can win half the jackpot, and other half supports Challenger Baseball, a program that helps kids of all abilities across BC thrive through sport. Tickets start at just $10 with bundles for even more chances to win. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at jayscaregolf.rafflenexus.com. Must be 19 years or older and live in BC to play. Let's make a big impact and do it together. So thank you very much for all that, and please check out the link. And more on Canuck Central is coming up next on Sportsnet 650. Canuck Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza.